The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We're going to go deep into U of A and ASU. They're going to play twice now in basketball, coming up this Thursday in Tempe and Monday in Tucson. Greg Hansen will be with us, lead columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Has covered the U of A for 30, 40 years, a long time. And I like having Greg on. Greg will be with us from Tucson. That comes up at 10:20. Kyle Dodd will be with us today, Arizona State basketball analyst with Tim Healy on the broadcasts. And, of course, the former Sun Devil guard. Kyle's son broke his wrist yesterday and went like six different directions. So he may be half asleep, but it's fine. A half asleep Kyle Dodd works for me all day long. We're also going to talk to Greg Hansen about U of A football. And they're recruiting, and has the program ever been lower than it is right now? Greg Hansen, again, here in about 10 minutes. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate Desert Financial Credit Union and their support. I was going to say response, because I want to have Jordan Spurgeon on with us today. So we have a new face and a new voice we want to introduce to you. Jordan Spurgeon was an intern last semester, and Jordan already had things working in his favor. He was the sports director at Palomar College, where I went to school. So that alone meant he was going to get hired. He did so well in his internship and sucked up so great that we decided to hire him. And he's going to jump on the show from time to time. And you do all sorts of things over at ASU, though, and I want to get want to have you jump on board, just talk a little bit about you and what you're doing and all that stuff, and get all the niceties and platitudes out of the way.
I appreciate that, Brad.
Yeah, so why are you here? Do you know why you're here? Do you have any idea?
I think about that all the time. But,
sure.
I love telling stories. I feel it's part of my purpose. It's not who I am, but it's part of, you know, my purpose. And when I started over at Palomar College, which is the best school ever, if you're out there in California,
correct.
Palomar
Go
College
Comets.
Is amazing. Go
Comets,
Comets always.
Comets. Yes.
It's the best. And from there, I had some friends going to Arizona State, and I looked into it and was like, wow, that would be a great place to go. And here I am 2.5 years later, and all of a sudden, go to an interview and you're there, and all of a sudden you see my resume and you see Palomar and you see where I worked at before, and you know Coach Quintero over there, and things just
John
have
Quintero's
a way of working
great
out.
Man. Yeah, John Quintero is a great man, and you work with John, and it just means our hiring practices are a little lax, but that's all right. and so you are now at Cronkite. You have ascended to a point where you are in charge of people at Cronkite. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I came in January 2020 as a transfer student to Cronkite, obviously, and joined Blaze Radio right away. The sports director there, Scotty, was really great at getting me in. He saw that I had, you know, been nominated for national awards and things, and he was like, all right, let's get you on the air. And semester comes to a halt, you know, because of COVID, and I interview for a production director job, not knowing I was going to get it at all. Just, I didn't know anybody, but I knew I had a lot of experience in radio and stuff, and ended up getting hired. So that was really cool. And then we had some issues, and our station manager was relieved of the duties. And during all of last semester, I just was kind of rallying the troops, staying positive, dealing with the CEO type things of finances and emails and all of that. So I was promoted to station manager at Blaze, which is the largest like organization at ASU that's not Greek Life. We have about 400 students at any given time. So I'm in charge of just making sure the radio is running smoothly, making sure people are doing what they need to do, keeping us on the air. That's the toughest part, is the finances. And today, like, our stream has been down, so I've been working with engineers getting our stream back up. And so somehow in a year, I ended up there. But, you know, I know I work hard and I have the skills, so it doesn't really surprise me. It's just kind of odd to see that so fast.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. Look, here's the thing on Jordan and why he's part of what we do. Some of you are going to say, well, it's a student. No, this guy is much more than a student. He already has a lot of practical experience. He's already worked in a major market. He's well beyond his years. But he also has a very good eye for storytelling, and I think that is your strength. Now, I don't know about you being on the air, but, you know. No, in all seriousness, I'm curious on campus. Give me a vibe about ASU U of A, because that's really what this show is going to be about today, in a great detail, is twice in 4 days playing against the Wildcats. What's the buzz around ASU basketball, or is there none? Is this like ASU football where it's like, Brad, man, this is a lead balloon here on campus?
Yeah, I think everyone bought in before the season, and now with all the complications they've had, and they're, I believe, 4-6, people are really starting to feel down on ASU, and no one was talking about Arizona coming into this season. It seemed like it was going to be a down year, and now it seems like it's going to be evenly matched games. The Territorial Cup always is, so I think a lot of people feel if they lose one or both of these games that it's going to be a very long season in the Pac-12 for ASU after all the expectations of this year. And so it'll be interesting to see how that sort of plays out, because I think the expectations are higher than what we're seeing right now. And I don't know if they're ever going to reach those expectations this year.
Yeah. Are you doing the play-by-play of the game this Thursday? You
do not this Thursday. I might be doing Monday. I might be doing play-by-play on Monday.
And you guys you would not go to Tucson. You guys do it remotely, right?
Yeah, we've been trying. We're able to do the home games now in Desert Financial, but the road games, Cronkite's not so much there.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, stop it again sometime. You did great, all right?
Yeah, I will, Brad. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Get out of here. There's Jordan Spurgeon. He's part of our Sports 360 AZ team. And very, very – he's going to be one of those guys. Like, we had Kalen Jones on last week, and Kalen's now with Bill Simmons in the Ringer, and you just see him, and he's crushing it. Jordan's going to be in the same space. And it may be here, or he just may say, you know what, I'm going to get out of here. So there's some things going on today in sports. The combine is not going to be done in person this year. It's all going to be done remotely. They're going to do the college campuses. This is why when we talk about the importance of why college football needs to succeed and why the NFL does not need to pull colleges off their radar. They do not need to kill off college football because they have a minor league system in place just like Major League Baseball. And that's really what the combine is going to be this year. These colleges are going to be in a spot where they already do their pro days, but now even more so. Even more so. You're going to see Arizona State, all these college coaches are going to descend on the weight room. I've been there the last couple of years. I don't know if they're going to let us in this year. I don't know if the coaches will come in this year or if they will watch on a deck, if they have a certain number, if they'll just stream it. I don't know. But I know that for Arizona State and for the U of A, there'll be players there, or unless there's not enough at Tucson and they just haven't come up to Tempe. I don't know. But for the combine to do that and be remote, that's a new one. We have not seen that one yet. I watched the Suns game yesterday. They weren't good shooting the three. And that's the thing. When you get all excited about live by the three, die by the three, and Devin Booker goes 5 for 21, you're going to lose. But I'll give you a positive. I thought DeAndre Ayton played a hell of a game yesterday and really played with some passion and some energy that people have been like, is this guy going to come through and show anything short of a mini pulse? He played well yesterday. And I think that was a positive. Mahomes, it's a neck strain or it's a concussion. Who do you believe? In my humble opinion, he's going to play. The wise guys in Vegas have the Chiefs as a 3-point favorite. The wise guys in Vegas have the Packers as a 3.5-point favorite over the Buccaneers. Buccaneers secondary is really young. Aaron Rodgers is going to tear them apart. That's the view that I'm hearing from the guys in Vegas. Up next, we switch gears. Greg Hansen with us, lead columnist, Arizona Daily Star, on Arizona State against U of A. What is going on with Sean Miller's basketball program? The level one violations. What is going on with new coach Fish's program in football? And their strategy of recruiting in state. Has there ever been a lower point in U of A athletics than right now? I'm going to talk to Greg Hansen about all of that. And then Kyle Dodd will be with us. Stay with us. The chairman of the board today, as always, the Iron Man, is Jared Nielsen. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, Greg Hansen is with us now. It's always good to catch up with Greg. He drops a lot of knowledge in his column on Sundays and just in general in the Arizona Daily Star. I got here in 1993. I've been reading Greg every year. That doesn't mean you're old. It just means you're good. So I appreciate you coming on, Mr. Hansen. I want to start, Greg, with obviously basketball, because both teams are in this really weird space. There is no postseason for U of A. ASU's completely underachieved under Bobby. And now you play two games in a span of 4 days, five days. It's hard to see a Pac-12 tournament this year with the way COVID is going. So I'm just curious, what are you seeing out of Sean's team and how U of A is responding this year?
these kids are better than I thought they could possibly be. It seems like every game, another one of them steps up and you go, wow, he wasn't supposed to be this good. Hmm. And when you see him against ASU, they've got this freshman from Canada named Ben Mathurin. He's an NBA player. He didn't even get off the bench for like the first month. Of course, it took a long time to evaluate everybody because they didn't play that much. But I thought this might have been Sean's worst recruiting class ever, and it's not even close to that. So combined with ASU being interrupted for so long, Arizona could beat them.
The Sean, you had a note this last week in your column about the three kids that left last year. Mm-hmm. And it's always a point of contention with me that the one and dones, if you're going to build a program on one and dones, you're really holding your breath because every year you got to go through the changeover. Is Sean changing direction off of the one and dones? It's not like he won't take any, but it looks like from a distance he's saying, you know what, I need to dial that back a little bit. Is that fair or not?
I think it's fair, but I also think there's an addendum to that.
Yeah.
And once they became under investigation, I don't think they could get those kids this year and last year. So in a way, he was forced to go to Europe and Canada to get these guys. And it looks like it's working out because they're better than I thought they could be. And it looks like they would all come back next year, which would mean maybe they could do something. And it would be treated as if it was a, you know, wonderful surprise out of nowhere, whereas still it would be his 13th year and he still hasn't gone to the Final Four.
Do you think this will just be the one-year penalty, or do you yourself believe that there will be stricter penalties coming from the NCAA off the Level 1 violations, Greg?
Yeah, I wish I could answer that. I wish you could answer that.
Yeah, yeah.
If I had to put it down on paper and vote, I would think there'll be more. And a lot of that's based on before Book Richardson went to prison, I spent 3 hours with him one day and he just opened up. It was off the record. And I walked out of that restaurant that day thinking, I'm big trouble.
Yeah.
So that's my only intuition.
It feels like up here that Bobby has been trying to get things organized on one hand, but he's taken a page out of Sean's playbook and that I'm going to bring some one and dones in here. You're not going to say no to Josh Christopher. But he's going to be a kid that's here for 1 year in a year where COVID is disrupted, as you rightly pointed out. But there's a chemistry thing that I see with ASU that's just not there. And we've had several guys from ESPN on that have looked at it that know Bobby, and they feel like there's a chemistry thing with Remy Martin in particular. I don't know if you've seen the Sun Devils enough, but you're going to see them in a span twice in a span of 4 days. What do you make out of the job Bobby's doing from a distance?
I watched the entire Oregon State game Saturday night because I had watched Arizona beat them so badly two nights earlier. And my son, who works at Oregon State University, I mentioned to him, this might be as bad as any Oregon State team I've ever seen. And they've had, as you know, many bad ones. And then they beat ASU. Are you kidding? They don't have any players. Really? Ethan Thompson, their point guard's okay. ASU had four times better players. I know their big guy was out. And when they lost, it's easy to go because they've been interrupted for a month. Mm-hmm. But still, I noticed, you know, when Verge would get the ball, I thought, well, he wants to shoot. But I thought that every time a guard or a wing got the ball for ASU, is they want to shoot. And who hasn't gone through that issue before when you've got four really good guys playing wings and point like ASU does? And maybe it was just bad timing, but I still think ASU will at least split in these two games.
Yeah. And I think for Arizona State, if we're looking at the two teams, I think there's it's more urgent for ASU. They've got to get this thing figured out. I think where U of A is right now, 10-3 with no postseason, that's really good. And as you pointed out earlier, the finding some guys, some diamonds in the rough that really they couldn't count on in a year where, okay, we're not going postseason. This really is their NCAA tournament here, these two games coming up this Thursday and on Monday. Greg Hansen with us for a couple of minutes, Arizona Daily Star. Let's switch over to football. Initial reaction to Fish is higher, and now your thought 3 weeks into this.
The day he was hired, I thought, can they change this? Remember a couple of years ago, Tennessee hired a coach and then a day later didn't hire him?
Yeah.
My initial reaction was, they're going to have to change this. It's not, isn't going to work. And then I hope this doesn't sound like a homer. Step by step through 3 weeks, this guy has been exactly what they had to have. Not saying he's going to be a winner and success, but right now, the one thing they had to do was reconnect with a community who was totally disconnected after 3 years of aloofness and laziness and nothingness. This guy's just the opposite of that. He's a worker. He's a communicator. And I mean, then he goes out and hires a staff like Arizona's never had. It's like an ASU kind of a staff. And who thought he could do something like that? I didn't. But I mean, they've mended fences in 3 weeks' time. Of course, they're going to have to put a team on the field in, you know, September, and they'll probably be picked to finish last in the league.
Right. I mean, I think the hire of Pete Carroll's son is the one that, to me, because look, Chuck Cecil, Ricky Hundley, you've been talking about this for years, that there's been this lack of continuity of former coaches or former players coming into an organization. Arizona State just let go of Derek Hagan. It doesn't always work out. Sounds great on the outside. Yeah. For years and years, I've taken that Danny White needs to be the head coach at Arizona State, and it never happened. So I don't know if that's the right move. Objectively sitting here, I didn't go to ASU. I didn't go to U of A. I don't care. But looking at it on the surface, it's, look, if Chuck Cecil can recruit, and you and I were on the Zoom with him, and I think that was the one area where I was like, okay, I think he can sell kids, but he's got to learn it again. And in Hundley's case, you just put the tape on. It's what Herm is doing. I think that those are good hires. But tell me about Pete Carroll's kid on this staff. That's the one that's really intriguing. And he's not just here like as a quality control guy. He's got a big role on this staff.
It's, to me, it's credibility that they haven't had, because, you know, he just wasn't the son of a coach at Seattle. He had, for 4 years, was the run game coordinator with a team as, you know, in the top six in the NFL. So, and plus he coached at Miami and USC. So I don't know how they got him. It couldn't be money. It had, because he could hand pick his place to go to learn how to be a head coach somewhere. And why would he pick Arizona, who's probably going to go 2-10 or 3-9 next year? What a sales job to get him to put his name into this. And he must have seen something he liked. But I agree with you. When, you know, the Cecil and Hundley, you were right on. But when I saw Brennan Carroll's name, I just went, okay, there's something here.
He's in the early days with the transfer portal. The three players with Valley ties that are there, Gunnar Maldonado and Drake Anderson and Harris, those are players that I thought last year Anderson was going to end up over at Arizona State. ASU made a late push at Harris at the end. And I know that ASU's recruiting model right now is let's try to go national. And in state, I think there's plenty of high school coaches that are not happy with that approach. The flip side is Fish comes in and says, we're going to have a Wednesday meeting with every high school coach. And he's offered right and left around the state. But you can't build a program, or can you build a program off Arizona high school kids, Greg?
I talked to a former USC assistant coach who had coached at Arizona for quite a while the other day. And he said, if you cannot recruit Southern California, you're dead. And Arizona has moved straight to Texas under Sumlin and even Rich Rod, and they're dead. So now I think right away they're going back to Southern California, the Inland Empire and all those places, where whenever they've been good for 40 years, they've had a core of a team from Southern California. And I know in the 80s, when Arizona was really good for about 10 years, they had Phoenix kids. Well, they can't get those guys anymore. So I'm just thinking it's Southern California for Arizona to get back in a race. But the competition there is unbelievable.
Right, right. No, I mean, you have SEC schools that are coming in there and they're grabbing players. Quarterback. Now that there's been the decommitment from Millen and Rhett Rod left, it's Will Plummer and I think just one other player. You have an early thought on the quarterback situation that he's inherited, and letter of intent day is February 4th. not to go too deep into recruiting, but is there the belief that they've got to bring in at least two here in the late period?
Transfer portal has guys, but I can imagine the caliber of schools hitting on those guys.
Yeah.
And Arizona's way down the list, but they can sell playing time. You saw Will Plummer play high school ball. I didn't. I thought he was okay. I know you have to be better than okay, but I could see a little glimmer where he could be okay.
Will Plummer got his head kicked in every time I saw him. He played quarterback. He played safety. He kicked. He punted. He never left the field, and he wasn't on a good team. He had a very good coach, but he wasn't on a good team, and they didn't have numbers. They had like 24 kids. So he plays the whole time, and he believed from day one, I can go to Tucson. I can go to the U of A, and I can beat out the quarterbacks that are there. He felt that strongly. Whether or not people look at him and say, wow, he didn't have a great season, he had nobody around him from this point of view. He had nobody there. By that last game, checked out. You saw it. We all saw it. And he's running for his life, trying to do the best he can do. No, I think he's a hell of a quarterback if he can just stick in there and not get the game kicked out of him.
Yeah. He'll have – it's easy to say this, but he'll have better coaching. I mean, Jed Fish is going to be the quarterback's coach, basically. And I know he hasn't been a head coach, but he's been under almost every conceivable good situation for quarterbacks in the country. Mm-hmm. So he's going to get better coaching. And he's going to have some energy, which – they didn't supply last year from the coaching staff, and players around him will probably have better attitudes and more energy. And plus he's all they got right now. I know when Mike Stoops came, they were at this low point, just like this. And he had such bad quarterbacks the first 2 years, and he went 3-8, 3-8. I think maybe you just have to suffer through those 2 3-8s till you get a quarterback in.
Before I get you out of here, we're talking with Greg Hansen, the Arizona Daily Star. How can the athletic director and the administration miss so badly on Kevin Sumlin? It's a question I've been asked.
Yeah.
And all the hiring and Fish, it's like they missed again from a lot of fans. And I'm like, let's tap the brakes. But just let's address Sumlin here from your view, Greg. Why was it such a just awful hire from day one?
I think it's just because this is the easiest thing to say. He had so much money, it didn't matter. And he had no idea. He probably thought the Pac-12 was easy pickings because it wasn't the SEC where he had been for 6 years. And then he probably got in and realized, wait a minute, Utah is really good. We're not anywhere near Utah. And how are we going to get that good? And then I just think he gave up. He had no connection with anybody. No one, as you were saying, in the administration forced him to make a connection in the community.
Right.
And this is a small community. And he just didn't care. I've never seen anything like that.
So is this
he wouldn't make a facial expression.
Yeah. I remember going down there for the first spring game because I wanted to see what was going on. And he was already at odds with media. There was very few media there. I think there was like a hockey game that I think there was something else going on that night. And most of the media didn't even show up to his spring game. And he walks out of the tunnel and he looks around, and you know how it is. There might have been 500 fans, 1,000 fans. And he had this look on his face like, what have I gotten myself into? You know, this is not College Station. There
Bingo.
Was nobody there.
Yeah.
And the media had already said, you know what? We've had enough of you. And the fans were like, other than moms and dads, there was no buzz at all. And from there, it never got better, it felt like.
The same former USC coach I was telling you about came to the state championship game at Arizona Stadium that someone's first year. It was when Bijan Robinson was playing, and Arizona had lost all those kids. And he was talking to someone who came out late. The entire ASU staff was there. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes, I do.
And someone shows up basically alone and late, as normal, and he's telling my friend from USC, I got this. He had had 1 year on the job, and he just didn't have any idea. And I really thought the president of the school would say, maybe not an apology, but we're going to do better this time. But he didn't say a word.
Hmm.
But how can you hire a guy like that?
And that leads me to the last question here. if Fish doesn't work out, does the athletic director go too? Because, look, from a distance, I'm sitting up here. You have level one violations against basketball. Thank goodness the women's basketball team is terrific, yeah. and they're fun to watch. I watched them against Oregon. She's got a lot of energy and passion about her. But between the football program being off the chart and the basketball program facing what could be some serious stuff, is the athletic department in trouble financially because of these two mechanisms sure. in place?
100%. Now, Hickey inherited some of it, but what his strategy is with Sean Miller, who's got 14 months left on his contract. Have you ever heard of that in an elite school? I mean, they all have five-year contracts. Sean Miller has 14 months. So, I mean, they're not going to say what's going on or what their strategy is, but yeah, I've been here long enough. I think this is the lowest point in the history of University of Arizona sports right now. All this stuff, bad football, bad men's basketball. It's never been simultaneous like this. I know in the early 80s, the football program was on a probation from something in the 1970s, and the basketball team went 4-24. And then they hired Cedric Dempsey to be the athletic director. He hired Lute Olson, Mike Candrea, and those guys, Dick Tomey, and it turned around. And he was a difference maker. And this is the chance for Hickey to be a difference maker. And he's on.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like the clock's really ticking. Just, yeah. Again, sitting up here 90 miles away making judgments, but it's what I do. and you do really well with it as well in the Arizona Daily Star. I appreciate your time and your insight as always, Greg. Stay well, stay safe. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
It's Greg Hansen with us with the Arizona Daily Star. And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, now let's pay attention to Arizona State against U of A. They're going to play twice in a span of 4 days, which I think is actually kind of cool. It's not convenient, but it makes a lot of sense. So Kyle Dodd is with us. Always good to catch up with Kyle, the former Sun Devil guard, Sun Devil radio analyst in current capacity on a season that I'll leave it to you rather than me make the intro. How would you describe this season for Arizona State basketball to this point?
Bizarre, you know, weird, just not normal. Any of those adjectives. I mean, it's just one of those years. It's kind of like football. I mean, it's mirroring a little bit what they went through in football. It just seems like they can't get any traction, you know, even to practice to get, I mean, they haven't played with a full roster yet. It's just a, you know, weird time. And I, you know, it's one of those things where nobody really feels sorry for you because everybody's dealing with it. But, at the same time, you tip your hat to Coach Hurley and the staff and the kids for just being able to battle through this stuff and get out there and compete. And yeah, it doesn't feel good. They're losing basketball games right now, but the fact that they're out there on the floor and bringing energy and competing and playing with passion, you know, at this point, sometimes that's, you know, that's all right.
All right. You're a straight shooter. What do we need to know that we don't know that they're going through? So when you talk about not having practice, from my outside view looking in, okay, they don't have enough bodies to practice. They don't have bodies that are 100% to practice. So that impacts chemistry. Then you have the whole side of players that are coming here that are expecting to do things on the court because they're looking to the next level. You have a returning player that is expecting to do things, and he's not really coming through in Remy's case. So am I hitting all the marks? Am I overstating or understating?
No, I mean, I think you're right there. I think, obviously, you know, it's just so tough, and you could go in every situation. I mean, I'll start with Remy. You got a, you know, senior All-American coming back for a senior year, arguably one of the most popular players ever to play hoops at ASU. Just the passion he played with, the way that he got the crowd and involved, and the energy that he brought in the community, and then he has to play his senior year with no fans, you know. So, I mean, that's got to be different for him. And then you have the probably the, you know, one of the most talented recruiting classes you ever had. And the roster's loaded with four-star, five-star guys. And, you know, the hype is there. And, again, you have no fans, or you don't even know if you're going to play a season. And then you get to the season and you actually have a chance to showcase what you've, you know, done in recruiting and built roster wise if you're the coaches. And then it's just been, like I said, up and down. You're getting shut down. And I mean, there was a stretch over Christmas where I think it's tough because I'm not as close to it as I used to be because we can't be around. So, I mean, you know, I'm hearing stuff like they practiced a couple times in a 3-week stretch, you know, I mean, so to play college basketball and only be on the floor a couple times together, you know, and play 3 games in 30 days, or Remy Martin's played 1 game in 30 days right now, you know, so it's, and then it's just down the line you get, and they're already thin in the front court. We already knew that, you know, that this team was going to be guard heavy and they were going to favor that. But then you get the starting 4 and 5 right now are out because of issues. So it's one of those years. You're just, I wait and see. And when the ball tips off and they start dribbling down the court, that's when I believe they're actually playing. I'm actually calling the game at this point.
No, that's right. I think that's very fair, Kyle. I'll go through it here on the show and say they're supposed to play tonight or they're supposed to play later this week. But I'll go back to the UCLA game at the start of the year where the officials got dinged at the last second. So they didn't even get a game in at UCLA, not ASU, but, you know, officials show up and they're not able to play. So I completely get what you're saying. I guess when I go through a guy like Josh Christopher, and I'm starting to get asked this by fans, is he going to go down as the one and done that we never saw? And from my view, the answer is yes, he is going to go down as the one and done that we never saw. Do you believe that he will just be here 1 year and then leave? Ultimately, he has to make the announcement, but that was pretty well laid out when he came here to ASU.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, you're right. I mean, that's, the writing was on the wall. I mean, everybody, no matter where he would have chose to go to school, I think that's what you were expecting. And all the projections and the mock drafts and all that stuff still have him, you know, up there. And it's one of those situations where, you know, I think the kid is definitely different in the sense that I haven't had a chance to be around him personally, but just like watching from afar, talking to the people in the program, talking to teammates, and, you know, he's a great kid. I mean, a great kid that just really embracing the college experience, even though he's not really truly getting the college experience. So I don't know, you know, what they're thinking and his family and him. And I would anticipate, you know, if he has the chance to be a first rounder, which a lot of people say, why wouldn't he? But I don't know. I would hate to speculate for him, but I think, you know, if I had to guess or whatever, I would say, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's unfortunate because it's like kind of like I was joking with my buddy the other day. I'm like, kind of ASU luck. You know, you got a great talented football roster and a great talented, you know, basketball roster, and we can't go see it. You know, so it's one of those years. But it's just been really weird. But you know, at the same time, it's nice to see those guys get out there and compete when they are, you know, able to.
I'm going to put your basketball, we're talking with Kyle Dodd, but Kyle trains players for the next level too. So I'm going to put that hat on you for a second, if you could. What do you like most about Josh's game? What do you look at and say, he's got to get better in this area for the next level?
I love his strength. I mean, just his physicality. I mean, his ability to get, especially when he puts it on the bounce, his ability to get, you know, his shoulders below a defender's hip, just one quick wiggle with like a little in and out move or whatever. And then he's able to finish with contact. He really kind of launches his body into shot blockers, and which you have to do as a shot blocker. So many people think, you know, you try to avoid contact or avoid the shot blocker. Really what you want to do is take it right to them to kind of tie them up rather than give them the space and the length, you know, to use their length. So I think he really does that well. And I think he's a gamer. I mean, he's just one of those guys. He's not scared of the moment at any point, but I do think right now he's going through a little bit of, you know, confidence issues. I think with his shot, I think he's had a couple of, you know, shooting games where he struggled a little bit. We saw him out on the floor and at Desert Financial late both games after, you know, getting shots up. So he obviously going to put in the work, but it's obviously there in his head a little bit that I think he's just struggling a little bit with confidence. I thought he passed up a couple shots recently where he would have taken earlier in the year, and everybody goes through that in college basketball. So I think it's just for that, you know, I think his range is there. He can shoot it from deep, but just keep being more consistent and shooting a high clip from the 3-point line. And his pull-up jump shot is really, really smooth, especially off the bounce, you know? So I think, you know, he has a lot more strengths than weaknesses, but I think probably the biggest thing that I, you know, he would have to continue to get better at is just, you know, making shots and being comfortable shooting the ball from deep.
When you see Bagley, there was a lot of hype, and rightly so, from what he did in high school. Has he lived up to that?
Yeah, I think 100%. I think, you know, outside of the injury, I thought we're a different basketball team when he's on the floor. It's been evident the last couple of games. You know, they've lost three in a row, but with him on the floor, I mean, it's just a totally different game. I think he has done everything that, you know, the coaches have asked of him. He's a high IQ player. He stretches the floor. He's tough. He can, you know, he can play at all levels. He can get to the rim. You know, he's got a nice little intermediate game, and then he, you know, really strokes it from the outside. And I mean, I think, in my opinion, this is just me talking, I think his ceiling, you know, and I think him projecting him, you know, as a prospect at the next level, I think he's probably more ready right now than anybody I've seen around the league, you know.
Even Josh.
Yeah, I think, in my opinion, I mean, I know I'm, you know, a lot of people don't agree with that, but I think, in my opinion, that Marcus is more ready. He's ready right now. And I think, you know, I think he's, I just think, I love the kid. I think he's great. And I think he has a chance to be really, really good.
Before we get you out of here, we're talking with Kyle Dodd, Arizona State and U of A, twice in the next Thursday and Monday this week, here in Tempe on Thursday, in Tucson on Monday. Do you like the fact they're going to bang it out twice in 4 days?
I think so. I mean, why not? You know, why not do it this year? And I would love to do it back-to-back nights. I think it'd make it even, you know, maybe get the games a little chippy. You know, the crowd's not going to be there, which is going to be just so ironic and so weird. But I like that they're doing it back-to-back. I think these two teams, they got a lot to play for still. And it's, you know, obviously you're not going to have the energy in the building, but I promise you those guys will go out and go chin to chin and battle it out. So I like the fact that they changed it up. You know, if you're sitting around waiting for games and you got two teams that are healthy, why not tie it up, you know, lock it up right now before anything else happens, you know, to maybe postpone a game or cancel a game. If you're healthy right now, let's do it. Let's play.
Last question. From your view, when you sit and you do the games, I know you're not in the gym when they're on the road. When they're at home, you are in Desert Financial, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I don't know your interactions with Bobby during all of this, if you guys Zoom or do you get to talk to him in person, but I'm just curious if you can paint the picture for the fans. How's he handled all this? How's he handled this whole season and this losing that, with all the buildup and hype of this is going to be an amazing team, and it hasn't been that so far? How's he handled it?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's hard. You know, I mean, I'm kind of with you. I'm on the outside looking in this year. So we don't, I mean, even when we're at the arena, we're up top and, you know, you don't have that personal feel. And we're not traveling normally where you'd see coach on a bus, on the plane, in the hotel, in the lobby. We're at breakfast with these guys. We're just, that's none of that this year. So, you know, other than just talking to people that are there, that's kind of where I'm, you know, understanding kind of where their head's at. And I mean, from what I hear, coach is kind of doing what everybody's doing right now, just kind of taking this year the best you can. I mean, he's just trying to, you know, be there for his kids and coach his kids up and understand they're going through stuff. And it's not just the pandemic, it's all kinds of, you know, stuff with the social issues. And so I think just the fact that these guys are able to get out there and get on the practice floor together at times and play at times, and he's able to coach them up. I think if there's ever a year that's just good enough sometimes, that's it. And then I think it's probably obviously really frustrating for him knowing the hype and the skill level and the talent level that he had coming into this year. I guarantee you he would love to have a normal year, but I think it's been, you know, it's just, you got one of those things where you take it a day at a time right now, really, and everything.
All right. That's good stuff from you. Get out of here. We should, not to pull the curtain too back on Kyle, but 3 a.m. this morning,
yeah.
A wrist injury, a broken wrist for a kid. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, he's doing good. He's much, much tougher than me. So he did it yesterday morning, and then they sent him to a couple of different hospitals and ended up being able to set it. He's back. He's good. So
yeah. All right. Get out of here. Go sleep. I appreciate having your insight. Be brilliant on the air Thursday and Monday. See ya.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
There's Kyle Dodd with us, and we're back with more after this timeout.